Welcome to the Todd Starn Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hope you're doing well today, everybody. All right, let's get right to this. The IRS is hiring a bunch of armed agents. So if you don't turn in your taxes, there's going to be a knock at the door. And when you open the door, you could be staring down the barrel of a gun with an IRS agent about ready to pull the trigger. This is bonkers nuts, ladies and gentlemen. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I do believe that one of the reasons why the Republicans wanted to take control of the House of Representatives was to stop the Internal Revenue Service from hiring any new people, much less armed agents who are literally going to be dispatched to all 50 states. Now, the Washington Examiner has a fascinating, fascinating story. It turns out, according to the watchdog group Open the Books, that there are more armed federal agents with firearm authority than there are U.S. Marines. Now, I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. The Department of Health and Human Services alone, we're talking HHS, spent more than $400,000 on tactical combat gear. Why do they need that? Why do they spend $85,000 on ballistic plates and body armor? And why does HHS have nearly 500 armed agents? Now, get this. Since 2006, the Department of Health and Human Services spent $154 million on guns and ammo. Now, what do you think that's all about? 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. And this is happening all over the United States and federal agencies. So you might be wondering, well, okay, is HHS, are they assigned the task, the duty of protecting our borders? Why do they need all that firepower? Well, when you look at the Department of Health and Human Services website, their mission is to enhance health and well-being of Americans. That's it. And how do they do that? Well, certainly not by arming their staff, because that's mentioned nowhere in the HHS. So here you have a government entity, the Department of Health and Human Services, that quite frankly has created at taxpayers' expense its own army. Well, it turns out the numbers are even higher at the IRS, which has the power to confiscate. It employs 2,100 gun-toting agents. Another 600 or so are due to be hired. And they recently purchased 3,000 units of compatible tactical holsters for weapons using optical sights and weapons lighting systems. In other words, night vision. We're giving them night vision weaponry, the Internal Revenue Service. Now, what's disturbing is when you look at the IRS job listing, it tells applicants, you know, you got to put in your name, you got to give them your social security number, they got to run a background check and all that kind of stuff. But according to Fox Business, there is a line, a key line, that every person applying to be an armed agent of the Internal Revenue Service must be willing to use deadly force if necessary. What do you think that's all about, America? The Washington Examiner says the Overarming of federal domestic agencies has been a problem for a long time, going at least all the way back to 2010, sometimes with tragic consequences. We're talking about armed agents of the Postal Inspection Service, the Agriculture, Labor, and Veterans Affairs Departments, the Bureau of Land Management, Indian Affairs, the EPA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, even the Small Business Administration, and the Railroad Retirement Board have armed government agents. So the question is, what's going on here? Why is it that the federal government has more firepower than the Marines? Folks, I'm telling you, you got to pay attention to this stuff. Because right now, the government, the Biden administration, has enough firepower to do a lot of damage in this country. You need to pay very close attention to that. And you also, by the way, you need to be calling your members of Congress and asking them, why are they allowing the IRS to hire anybody? I mean, we thought that was the whole point of this, was we were not going to allow the IRS to hire any more people. And here they are hiring more people. It really does make one wonder. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. By the way, interesting story up at ToddStearns.com. Last night, the ratings came out, and it is a mess for Fox News Channel. It's a bloodbath. Now, Fox News just assumed that all of you good people would forget about Tucker Carlson, you would forget about Dan Bongino, and you would go back to watching Fox as if they never existed. But that's not what happened. And we got a lot of weird stuff happening here, but apparently Tucker technically has not been fired from Fox. They're going to keep paying him his contract, but his company email doesn't work, and they're not going to put him on the air. So they want to keep him off the books and off the grid until after 2024. You say, well, why is that important? Well, it's important because Tucker Carlson could have impacted the presidential election with his platform at Fox. So that tells me that there was somebody inside that building, whether it be Lachlan or Rupert Murdoch, who wanted Tucker Carlson neutralized. That's what I think is going on here. So the reality is that a good many conservatives have discovered they no longer have a friend at the Fox News corner of the world. And, you know, they've been sticking poor Brian Kilmeade out there. And, you know, Kilmeade, it's interesting, and I'll get to Kilmeade in just a moment, a little bit more in depth. Kilmeade's a good guy. I mean, he really is the hardest working guy in the building. He does Fox and Friends. He hosts that weekend show. Now he's hosting Tucker's old show. He's got a 3-hour talk radio show. And may I just say that when you are doing that much work, it really becomes hard to do everything excellently, if that makes sense. No, I know that's not a word, but bear with me. So anyway, back to these ratings. So when Tucker Carlson, the final day, last Friday, Tucker Carlson's last day at the network, 2.6 million people watched his show. The latest numbers we have from Wednesday night, and I suspect Thursday nights are going to be even lower, only 1.3 million people tuned in. They literally lost half their audience. Fox News Channel now in third place behind MSNBC and CNN during the 8 o'clock hour. Megyn Kelly says it's a bloodbath. Well, that's an ironic choice of words, is it not, ladies and gentlemen? I continue. They lost half their audience, Ms. Kelly said. And it does appear that many Fox viewers have now made the switch to Newsmax. So this is fascinating. Newsmax's audience, meanwhile, is up 187%. And, I mean, when you look at Newsmax, and I'm a contributor there now, so I'm coming at this with a different, maybe I have a dog in the hunt here, but it looks like conservatives are rewarding Newsmax for being fair and balanced. And like Chris Ruddy said, we want to give a platform to the entire Republican Party, not just one side. We want everybody, and we should all want that. And I think Newsmax is going to be rewarded by all of you in the process of this happening. The New York Times has already taken notice. Newsmax ratings climb after Tucker Carlson's exit at Fox. And Chris Ruddy, who's been a friend of this program, says Fox has been moving to embrace more of an establishment position. And I think he is absolutely right there. By the way, Fox has dismissed all of this ratings, the ratings crash, and they say there's nothing wrong. Everything is hunky-dory. Is it hunky-dory, ladies and gentlemen? I don't believe it's hunky-dory. So look, Breitbart, they got the inside scoop. But if you were listening to this program on day one and two, Monday and Tuesday, you already had the scoop because they were basically repeating what I was sharing. Now, they've got more intel. They're clearly talking to somebody. But the reality is that there's a lot of anger and angst within that building. A lot of it. So we're going to get to all of that. It's Open Line Friday. That means you can talk about whatever you want to talk about, and we will do that. We have some great guests coming up as well. More on that a little bit later. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/STARNS. That's MyPillow.com/STARNS for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNS. By the way, I got to give credit to President Trump and to Ron DeSantis. First of all, I've got to play this audio. This is DeSantis shutting down a reporter. Let me give you the intel, the backstory here before we play this audio, and then we're going right to the phone. So hang tight. So there's a report out there by these leftist rags that back in 2006, Ron DeSantis was in the room at Gitmo when somebody did something bad to one of the detainees. Now, what's interesting about this is it's simply impossible that this story is true. And the fact that a moron reporter asked this, now, normally, before Trump, there would have been a horror in the Republican lawmaker, but not now. Cut number six.
During your time,
no, not all that's BS.
Shut it down.
Totally BS. Yep.
You say you were present.
Yep. Is that? Who said that?
Detainees.
How would they know me? Okay, think about that. Do you honestly believe that's credible? So this is 2006. I'm a junior officer. Do you honestly think that they would have remembered me from Adam? Of course not. They're just trying to get into the news because they know people like you will consume it because it fits your preordained narrative that you're trying to spin. Focus on the facts and stop worrying about narrative.
Oh, pardon me. Yeah, yes. Way to go, Ron DeSantis. And then Donald Trump in New Hampshire, and I am so proud of the president. He stayed on message. He was funny. He looked refreshed. He was having fun. Even gave Joe Biden a new nickname. Cut number 10.
I will be retiring the name Crooked from Hillary Clinton and her moniker. And I'm going to give her a new name. I don't know, like maybe Lovely Hillary or Beautiful Hillary. But I'm going to retire the name Crooked so that we can use the name for Joe Biden because he'll be known from now on as Crooked Joe Biden. I love it.
Love it.
You would think that Hillary would be very happy today. She'll be, I think she'll be, she's out there someplace celebrating. Because there's never been anyone in the history of American politics so crooked or dishonest as Joe Biden. And the press absolutely refuses to report it, all that press back there. Because, frankly, they're just as crooked as he is, and they are. They're just as crooked. The choice in this election is now between strength and weakness, between success or failure, between safety or anarchy, between peace or conflict, and prosperity or catastrophe. We are living in a catastrophe.
We certainly are. All right. Good for you, Mr. President. You sound good. And I'm excited about that kind of a speech, that kind of messaging. All right. Let's get to the phones here. Let's go to Randy in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Randy. What's going on?
Hello, Todd. I was watching the morning news this morning, and they showed that young man's bedroom that was arrested for leaking the top secret document. And they made a point to call out his arsenal, which consisted of three rifles. And I looked at it, and then I had to Google the picture and blow it up on my phone. And if you do that, you'll see the end of the rifles all have red tips or orange tips. And those are airsoft rifles. They're not. They're pea shooters. They're not. They're not even classified as a weapon. But they made a point that the FBI, you know, the arsenal. That's the point I had.
Well, Randy, I'll tell you this, and folks think I'm joking when I say this, but you can have super soakers. Squirt guns in that bedroom, and the mainstream media would not know the difference between that and an AR-15. I'm telling you, it really is true how stupid and ignorant the media is when it comes to reporting these kinds of things. And it's good for you to point that out. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Jim in North Carolina. Hi, Jim. What you got for us?
Hey, Todd. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
Good. Yeah, this thing about arming all these federal agents. You know, it's not going to be a civil war. It's going to be a revolutionary war, just like when we fought the British, because they had their thumb on us. And that's why they're arming them. And also, Tucker Carlson is gone now. The next ones they're going to come after is you, Clay and Buck, Glenn Beck, Kelly, down in Texas, and Sean Hannity. Because they're coming after you guys because they want to shut you up. And can I say one more thing?
Sure, go right ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I figured out who's going to be in that new Cinder fella. It's going to be Dylan Mulvaney, the guy that's on the Budweiser cans, as a princess, and she loses her slipper. And she dances with Don Lemon all night.
Ooh.
And then,
Man, the, Jim, come on. It's the lunch hour, Jim. Oh, come on. Somebody just choked on their bologna sandwich. Jim, we got to run, my friend. Yeah, we got to run, my friend. We are running late for a break. By the way, I have a Dylan Mulvaney story update I've got to share with you coming up. Jim, God bless you for that. And look, you know, they may try to come after us, but I got news for them. They can't shut us down. They cannot do it, and we will not allow them to do it. Right? We've got to stand our ground. And so I made a promise to you when we started this show over 5 years ago that we're just gonna be honest with you. We're going to be people of integrity. We're going to get out there and say what needs to be said. You may not agree with us all the time, and that's okay because we give you a platform to disagree with us. But we're not going to be working off talking points, and we're not going to be scared off by the bullies. But you ought to be very concerned, ladies and gentlemen, that your government is arming itself against you. We'll be right back.
Take as little as 3 minutes to see if you could save on motorcycle insurance with Progressive. Come on, you've spent more time than that trying to name your bike.
How about the Crusher? I guess it's not really crushing anything. The Silver Bolt? No. Oh, what about Pepper? Mysterious. Is it a pet or a condiment? Surprise! It's a motorcycle. No, that's stupid.
Get a quote in as little as 3 minutes at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Dylan Mulvaney, the dude in the dress. He is making some headlines. He says that people like me, yours truly, ladies and gentlemen, your friendly neighborhood talk show host, should be thrown in jail. Mr. Mulvaney is, of course, the celebrity endorser. He is celebrating 365 days of wearing a girdle and pantyhose. And Mr. Mulvaney is a man. But he says reporters who continue to refer to Mr. Mulvaney as a man should be thrown in jail.
Like the articles written about me using he pronouns and calling me a man over and over again. And I feel like that should be illegal. I don't know. That's just bad journalism.
Well, let me explain, Mr. Mulvaney, why people over and over and over and over and over again call you a man, sir. It's because you're a man, man. So man up, sir. Anyway, Mulvaney, this guy, unbelievable. Let me tell you something. This is a big problem in our country. I know some of you folks think, Tom, this is just silly. It's all silly. No, it is not silly. Brand new story out. This is from thehill.com. Lexi Lonas. One in four high school students now identifies as LGBT or Q. In 2021, 75.5% of high school students identified as heterosexual. You understand that we are watching some sort of a evolutionary event happening here? Do you think that's what's going on? Because that's what the CDC is telling us. This is something that's never happened before in the history of mankind, where an overwhelming number of young people are coming out of high school and they're now questioning their sexuality. So is it really an evolutionary event, or is this some sort of a social contagion that has infected the children of America? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Now, before we get to the phones, I will say this. If this goes unchecked, you're going to have 75% of the population identifying as all of this nonsense, because the kids are being confused. It's really that simple. The children are being indoctrinated. All right, let's go to Kyle in Arizona. Hi, Kyle. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, what's on my mind are all these illegal aliens just flooding through the border here in Tucson. It's so apparent that, I mean, it's been this way for 2.5 years now. Biden, they're just doing nothing to stop the flow of these people coming in here. I tried to do something myself. About 2 or 3 years ago, I donated. I have a successful business. I do okay for myself. I contributed over six figures to an organization called We Build the Wall. Are you familiar with them?
Not familiar with that organization, Kyle.
Yeah, so it was run by Steve Bannon and some other guys.
Oh, yeah. I know that story. So what, did you get your money back?
No, of course not. And that piece of garbage.
All right, well, I would encourage you, call Steve Bannon. Don't call me. I mean, if you want your money back, I don't know what to tell you, Kyle. Sorry about that. Let's go to Leonard in North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. Hi, Leonard. What say you?
Well, first of all, I'm a first-time caller, but a long-time listener.
Welcome aboard, Leonard. Great that you called in.
Thank you so much. I am a Trump fan. I voted for Trump both times. I'll vote for him again this time. I think it's unfair how they railroaded him since the very beginning of his first day in office. I kind of think it's sad that the American people have to see that happening. And as far as this new thing that's going on, I was born a man. I'll die a man. My wife was born a woman, she'll die a woman. And I think if you're born one or the other, that's what you are. And I don't have no problem saying he or she, and I don't have time to learn all these new terminologies. I'm just not going to do it. So keep up the good work, because with you guys running behind me, I can keep on getting it, man.
Well, Leonard, I appreciate that, and I appreciate the way you framed that. And God bless you, sir. And you don't be a stranger. Give us a call back one of these days. Look, I go back to the Holy Bible. Todd, where do you get your hateful, hateful rhetoric about the trans community? You should be loving. Jesus said, love everybody. That's what Jesus said. Well, you know, I'm happy to answer that question for all you little woke evangelicals, you little limp-wristed, pansy woke evangelicals out there. I'm happy to answer that question. The answer to that question can be found in the Old Testament, where the Bible tells us that God made them male and female. And I don't see anything about intersex, queer, two-spirit, wackadoodle gerbils, or whatever else they're identifying as. God made male and female. Everything else is make-believe. I know that triggers a lot of people, but it's true. It is absolutely true. All right, open line Fridays. You can weigh in on whatever you want to talk about today, ladies and gentlemen. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. 8868. Let's go to Roy in Oregon. KYKN, our great affiliate out there. Hey, Roy, what's going on?
I'll tell you what. First, I want to say I agree with Leonard. Man's a man and a woman's a woman, and I don't want to learn those words either to change anything. But what I call about is the funding of these IRS agents, armed IRS agents. Didn't Kevin McCarthy say that the House controls the funding? All money comes from the House. Didn't he say that he would stop that by defunding these IRS agents that Biden has put on?
Yes, he did, Roy. As a matter of fact, that was his number one issue, was to defund the Internal Revenue Service.
What happened there, I wonder?
It's a good question. I mean, we do know that they voted to claw back a lot of money from the IRS, but clearly not enough. And they've got to do it. They've got to do it.
Well, I tell you what, that's what I called about. And I want you to know that I've been listening to you ever since Rush Limbaugh went off out of here, so...
Well, Roy, I appreciate you saying that. I hope we're living up to his legacy out there.
You're right up there with him, okay?
Well, you're kind to say that, Roy, and I appreciate you saying it. You give us a call back one of these days. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. And, folks, we take that pretty seriously around here. Rush single-handedly saved talk radio and the AM radio dial. And we're going to do our best to keep it running for the next generation. All right, let's go to Bill in North Carolina. Hi, Bill. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I hope everything's going well for you out there in Memphis, Tennessee. Everything's sunshine over here in North Carolina. But, yeah, I just wanted to comment about the IRS. Several years ago, I think it was John Linder and Neil Bortz wrote that book about fair tax. I think we need, as listeners, myself and you guys like you, Todd, and all the others that on the talk radio show host, need to band together and maybe get that going again, and make April 15th just another spring day and keep the state local tax in effect, but keep the IRS out of it. And if they want to continue putting IRS in control, then why don't they just go after the real criminals instead of the law-abiding citizens like ourselves? But I know I'm dreaming when I say that. And I wanted to comment on the transgender. Listen, you know, when they're grown up, they want to do that. That's their choice. Decisions have consequences. But when you go to messing with my grandbabies and all the other world's grandbabies out here, you got a problem.
Bill, you're preaching. You're preaching to a big choir of folks out there, and I agree. And the reason they're doing this, I mean, they've taken this all the way down to the preschool. Remember early on, it was like, well, we're just going to do this for the college kids. All right, well, we're going to do this for the seniors in high school. And now it's preschool because they know that boys and girls, I mean, this is all natural. Little boys like little girls like little boys. That's how it works. That's how it's been since the dawn of time. And so they have got to socially re-engineer the children, and they're doing that by these lessons, by these sex and gender revolutionaries. We call them the alphabet activists. That's how all this is happening. Bill, appreciate that call. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, KWAM. Early. Hi, Early. What's on your mind?
Oh, what's on my mind? This transgender situation and the homosexuality movement, period. What really angers me, and not in no hateful way, but it upsets me every time I hear that movement lines itself up with my rights. It's like I can't be a black man without endorsing homosexuality or anything like that. It just makes me mad when I see a political party base everything on me. Every sin. You know, I was born black, would die black. And it's very irritating, when I hear this type talk that continuously go on. My vote got to line up with their ideology. I'm not going to trade in my salvation, my belief in God Almighty, in the Lord, to join any party that don't bow down to that movement.
Now, Early, I want to ask you a question here because Memphis is a predominantly black city, and there are tons of churches here, and a lot of the mega churches are mostly black congregations. And I'm curious to know, within the black community, would you say that community is more conservative on culture issues like marriage and like the pro-life movement?
Look, I'll say this. Within the black church, a lot of people feel the same way that I do, but they feel so intimidated inside the church, which means, somebody is just very weak.
Sure.
But the people inside feel like they got to bow down to this here political movement. It's just bad. And we don't have enough leadership that believe in God enough to speak out on it. I haven't never heard a sermon really on it. And so need more black men. I'm saying men and women too need to speak out against it because we don't want our children to come up with that type of ideology. You know, they'll normally commit suicide often, and it's just a bad thing all the way around.
Well, Early, I appreciate you and your candor and calling in, and I just wonder. More we get more folks listening to KWAM, listening to this show and other programs, and maybe, just maybe, the black church might find out there are a whole lot more people that are willing to speak out than we know of. So God bless you, sir, and thanks for calling in. Give us a holler back one of these days. Folks, we got to take a break. I am late for a break. I apologize. 844-747-8868. You heard Early from Memphis. saying, you know, there are a lot of black Christians out there, and folks are just afraid to speak out, and they don't like the fact that the civil rights movement has now been aligned side by side with the LGBT movement. We'll be right back. All right. Hello, everybody. Hope you're having a great Friday out there. America, we're having a good time in here, hanging out together. Hey, by the way, want to encourage you to sign up for our ad-free columns and commentaries. And you can do that at Substack, toddstarns.substack.com. A lot of folks just get frustrated with all the pop-ups. Well, we wanted to provide you with another way to get the commentaries, and we would love for you to join us. It's $5 a month. And we think that's as low as they would let us go. But again, toddstarns.substack.com. Sign up for that and enjoy reading our columns. All right, let's go to Cindy in New York. Hi, Cindy. How are you today?
Hi, Todd. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I love your show, and thank I'm you. With Roy. I came to you after Rush.
Well, thank you.
Anyway, I wanted to talk about this corporate equity index score that these companies are getting from the largest and most powerful human rights campaign thing. And then when it said HRC, I was like, oh, she's involved? But no, it's HRC Foundation, and they put a scorecard on these companies where if they're not LGBTQ+ people, like, you know, equity inclusion, then they get a bad score.
Yeah, Cindy,
so
this is a very powerful, incredibly well-funded organization. And honestly, they get most of their money from Ryan Murphy, who created the Glee TV series, just hundreds of millions of dollars from Hollywood stars.
Oh, so you've heard of them then?
Oh, yes. They hate my guts, Cindy, and they came after me at Fox, and I think they were surprised when I fought back, because that's what you have to do. Those people are evil. And they want to shut all of us down.
They're caving, and who cares about this equity? Who cares about that score? You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's,
the other thing
too,
I wanted to say about Dylan is not a trans person. He's a grown man that acts as a 12-year-old girl. And who do they appeal to? Who does that appeal to? A 12-year-old girl. MAP people. MAP. Minor attracted persons.
Yeah, they used to call those folks pedophiles.
No, you can't call them anymore. They have to be they're MAP.
That's right. Yeah, that's true. That came out of the human rights campaign. By the way, Cindy, Joe Biden, when he was running for the White House, gave a speech at the human rights campaign. They had a big, big fundraiser. He called people like you and me the dregs of society, talking about Christians who believe in traditional marriage and traditional gender roles. It's a very, very bad group. Cindy, we got to run, but God bless you, and thank you for bringing that up. Folks need to know about it, and you do, folks. You really do. It is Open Line Friday here on the Todd Stearns Radio program. Give us a call, whatever you want to talk about. You can also talk about the issues that we've been discussing today. Our telephone number is 844-747-8868. Again, toll-free telephone number, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah. All right. Welcome to Open Line Friday, America. Todd Stearns here, your friendly neighborhood and, dare I say, affable host with docile tones. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. So yesterday on the program, I played some audio for you. The audio was the voice of a state representative from Texas, the Lone Star State. Yeehaw, giddy up. Lawmakers there of the Republican variety have been trying to preserve the right of public schools to engage in corporal punishment. In other words, if you send sweet little Billy to school and little Billy, the altar boy, starts acting like some sort of a demon-infected whatever, then the principal could go in and could take care of business and he could spank that demon right out of the kid. Corporal punishment. And, of course, all the Democrats are all upset. Oh, we can't be doing that. We can't be spanking the kids. That's horrible. We should be having conversations with the children. And that brings me to a story out of Portland, Oregon. Now a godforsaken place, once a beautiful town. Portland middle school principals are pleading for help. They can't figure out why students are misbehaving, and they've got big problems. I want to read this story to you from Julie Silverman from the Oregonian. Middle schools in Portland are facing a student behavior crisis. They need more dedicated staff to help navigate the issues. Sixth through eighth graders had more disciplinary incidents through the end of March than for the entire 2021-2022 school year. They're talking about disruptive conduct, harassment, all sorts of horrible stuff. Well, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good friend, she is one of the great hosts at KYKN in Salem, Oregon, Denise Quinn. Denise, how's it going today?
Hey, Todd. It's going well, and I'm not in Portland, thank goodness. I am in Salem, so there's that.
My word almighty.
So, oh, my God.
So how bad is it in the schools?
Well, you know, the Oregonian story about the middle schools up in Portland, some of the examples that they cite will curl your hair. I mean, they're terrible. Even down here in Salem, we currently, in the Salem-Keizer School District, there's a bunch of teachers that have filed a lawsuit against the district because they've taken, you know, school resource officers, every disciplinary tool, every common sense thing that you would think would be in place to deal with these issues is gone, and it's in there now with, you know, well, let's talk to them. Let's rap, you know, like they used to say in the 70s. Let's have a conversation. And these kids are out of control, and it's not doing them any good, and teachers are being injured. Other students are being terrorized in classes because they don't remove the student who's acting out. They remove everybody else. It's wackadoo.
One of the cases involved a seventh grader who described feeling terrified mm-hmm. after a classmate held a box cutter to her neck and threatened to slit her throat.
Yeah. And so what do? They suspended the classmate for a few weeks, and then the kid's back in school now without supervision.
Sally, why did you feel the need to hold a box cutter to the neck of your classmate and try to slit her throat?
Exactly. What are your thoughts and feelings on that, Sally?
How do you feel? How does that make you feel?
And instead of asking Susie, who had the box cutter up to her throat.
Wow, this is fascinating.
She would feel terror. It's out of control, and again, it's taking away these tools, and you've got these sort of progressive leftists in administration that seem to think that this is the way to go. And I have to wonder, it's like, are all y'all dumb, or is this on purpose because you want these policies to create these environments in these schools?
Now,
or
Denise,
is it a little bit of both? I'm trying to figure it out.
Now, Denise, I'm curious to know how things go out there in the Pacific Northwest because mm-hmm. I'm from the South.
Yeah.
And I grew up under the threat of being beaten with a fiberglass paddle with holes drilled in it from the principal so that there was, you know, there was no air cushion there, right?
Right,
so,
right.
And then with the promise that I would get it twice as bad once I got home. And
yes.
That pretty much kept most of us on the straight and narrow. And I will say this, when I graduated, there had never been a mass shooting in any American high schools.
That's the same for me. I grew up with an Italian mother, so I knew the wooden spoon pretty well. But yeah, you're right. There was discipline. There was consequences to your actions, and we've taken that all out. I mean, I drove a school bus for the district in the 2000s, and even back then, they were taking away tools, and you could see the decline in behavior. So you're right. If there's consequences and there's punishment, I know you were talking about corporal punishment. That would never fly out here. But my gosh, if we could get SR student resource officers back and have some consequences, I think that would go a long way towards, you know, sort of pulling back this reign of terror. And you think about, there was one incident with the lawsuit. There was basically a teacher kind of held hostage for over 3 hours before anybody would come and help her. I mean, it's out of control, and it has to stop.
This is insane. Do they have any idea why there's been such a spike? I mean, is it because of COVID and the shutting down of the schools?
I think so. I think COVID had a lot to do with it. You've got middle schoolers who were in elementary school, and they basically had their entire world where they're just stuffed in front of screens, and so they don't know how to relate. And so when there's frustration, and then when they're, you know, my precious pony, we can't have anything be terrible for you. We have to wrap you in a bubble from all consequences when there is a consequence. I think the behavior is so over the top because they just don't know how to cope. To me, it's parents, teachers, and all the adults in their lives failing them.
Oh, I'm with you, and predominantly parents. I mean, that's, you know, if you're not teaching your kid right from wrong, if you're not teaching your kid how to respect teachers or police officers, and then they turn out to be little hellions, you know, geez, Alou. I want to play some audio for you to get your reaction, because this is Randy Weingarten, with an I, the openly lesbian head of the second largest teachers union. Now, she spent all of the pandemic trying to keep the schools closed. But now she's saying she never did any of that. And Scott Jennings on CNN, the most profane name in news, called her out to her face. Let's play cut 13.
We don't know each other, but speaking on behalf of millions of American parents, I have four at home. I had to teach them at home. My wife had to teach them at home. I am stunned at what you have said this week about your claiming to have wanted to reopen schools. I think you'll find that most parents believe you were the tip of the spear of school closures. There are numerous statements you made over the summer of 20, scaring people to death about the possibility of opening schools. And I hear no remorse whatsoever about the generational damage that's been done to these kids. I have two kids with learning differences. Do you know how hard it is for them to learn at home and not in a classroom that was designed for them? And for you to sit in front of Congress and the American people and say, I wanted to open them the whole time. I am shocked. I'm stunned. And there are millions of parents who feel the exact same way.
Okay. Go ahead, Ryan.
So, I don't know you, sir, and you don't know me. But I have worked for the last 20 or 30 years helping kids every single day. I've been a school teacher. I've been a union leader. I knew and understood the importance of reopening schools and the importance of making sure that people were safe. And poll after poll that we did of parents, and I spent a lot of time with parents, said that they basically understood and supported that we needed to do both. I'm really sorry.
You think parents
about your
wanted
kids.
To keep the kids?
Nobody
you
wanted
think
to.
Parents
Nobody wanted to keep
you
kids at home.
Why did we fail? How did Europe and the rest of the civilized world get this right, and we failed?
Well, there you go. I mean, just calling her out right there on national TV. I say good for Scott Jennings.
Me too. Good for him. Good for him. And she's just a liar. She's flat out lying.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of these people getting away with it, frankly, between her and Fauci and the rest of this crew. They're flat out lying, and there need to be consequences there as well. It's just maddening.
So again, this leads to maybe the misbehavior, and this is what gets me, Denise. What were the parents doing where the kids are now coming out and they've become the poster children for abstinence in America? I don't get that.
The poster children for abstinence, just because they're so rotten, they're to be
they're evil.
So badly.
They're the spawn of Satan.
Oh my gosh! It reminds me of that ad where the father was in the aisle with a kid wanting sweets, and it basically brought him to the condoms or something about birth control. You know, be careful, be responsible because your kid's behaving terribly. It was just a funny ad. But I don't know. And I don't know how we get out of this because there don't seem to be parents and educators who want to change. She's doubling down on everything. She's calling him a liar.
Yes, even though, I mean, we've got all the evidence. We have all of her past tweets, all of her past statements. She was literally threatening a nationwide teacher strike if they reopen the schools.
I remember. We all remember. And the sad fact is this woman is probably going to get away with it unless parents stand up. And thank God I'm seeing parents all over the country standing up, even here. But you've got districts still pushing back. Salem-Keizer is still barely meeting in person. I'm not sure about Portland Public Schools, but it's still very, very hard to get them in there. And I just want to make a point, though. We have an election coming up. These races, these school board races, if we're not seeing right now how critical these races are and who's sitting in those seats, that these, you need to get out and vote. They're low turnout races, unfortunately, because people are apathetic. Well, the apathy is killing us here. So we need to get people to get out and vote. I know they're happening all over the country. If we haven't seen now how critical it is, just how the lockdowns were handled and what we're looking at now with discipline, I don't know what it's going to take, because this really should be it. This is one of those hills to plant your flag in.
Yes, it is. And Denise, we appreciate the fact that the good people of Oregon have you guys at KYKN as a mighty voice, a blowtorch for freedom out there in those
places. Well, thank you. We do our best to give to amplify those voices. We certainly do.
I love it. All right, Denise, thanks for calling in. And right. We love your listeners.
Thanks for having me on.
All right. Good folks right there. All right. 844-747-8868. I want to go to the phones. Memphis, Tennessee. Jerry, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jerry, what's up?
Todd, as Dylan has told you, I've got two simple questions. He didn't know the answers, now he will. Number one, are you still an election denier? And number two, are you a proponent of Christian nationalism?
Well, number one, I have never been an election denier. I have suggested that I believe that the election was stolen, but there's no proof of it. No rock solid proof.
So, okay. So all this time you have no proof and you still think it was stolen.
I do. I do. I have seen enough evidence, but again, this has not been proven in a court of law, Jerry. So what do you want me to say?
I think you just say, I still am not a believer. What about, are you a proponent of Christian nationalism?
What is Christian nationalism in your, I want to hear your definition.
It's funny you should say, because I had some communication with one of your pastors. I asked the same thing, and he's not sure. What is your understanding?
Jerry, you called in and asked me a question, so I just want to know the working definition in your mind.
My understanding is that the nation needs to be reformed under Judeo-Christian historic documents.
So it needs to be reformed. Okay. I can answer your question now. Thank you for that. Thank you for that clarification. I don't believe anything needs to be reformed, because our nation was founded as a Christian nation. When you go back and read all of our founding,
it wasn't.
Jerry,
it wasn't.
You asked me a question. I'm answering your. I'm trying to answer your question here.
All right, go on.
So all of our founding documents, all of the letters and correspondence of our founding fathers are flavored with the idea that we were creating a nation that was founded under God, under Judeo-Christian values and teachings. When you look at just about every building in Washington, D.C., there is some sort of a Bible verse. You walk into the Supreme Court, you've got the Ten Commandments that are literally carved into the side of the wall. So when you read the idea that we are endowed by our Creator, Jerry, not some sort of a committee, not mankind, but a Creator with our inalienable rights. So you can make the argument if you want to that we're a secular nation, but the fact is, under the Judeo-Christian teachings, you can be and practice whatever faith you want to practice, or not any faith at all.
Well, Thomas Jefferson was an atheist. George Washington was a deist as well.
No, Thomas Jefferson was not an atheist. He was a believer.
He was an atheist.
He was a believer, Jerry.
He was an atheist. He was an atheist. He despised the fact that he was demanded to be called when he was at William and Mary. You had to go to church, and they'd come after you. He despised all that.
Do you know what? Do you know what George Washington said after Washington he was inaugurated, Jerry? I'm going to tell you. You can keep talking, but I'll just tell you this: George Washington told the assembled masses, "God save the United States of America. God save the United States of America." And when they ratified the Declaration of Independence, the entire crowd gathered outside the building in Philadelphia chanted together, "God save the United States of America." So, yeah, Jerry, I believe we are a Christian nation, and I don't think there's anything wrong with Christians in America celebrating the fact that we live in the most exceptional nation on the planet. Jerry, thanks for the call. We got to take a break. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Well, I want to thank our great, great friends at WSJS. That's our affiliate in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. I think you folks can hear us all the way up to Hickory and Greenville. And anyway, the staff took a photograph and shared it on my Instagram page. So thanks a lot, guys. And we just appreciate the incredible team there. And, of course, all of the great listeners. This is Open Line Friday, 844-747-8868. Before we go to Dan, I do want to say this. And Kyle sent this over in the break. So Jerry from KWAM, Memphis, Tennessee, says that Thomas Jefferson was an atheist. Actually, he was not an atheist, as I said. In 1823, he actually wrote a letter to President John Adams referring to, quote, the God whom you and I acknowledge and adore, and he also denounced atheism. So there you go. Just for the record, the more you know, America. All right, let's go to Dan in North Carolina. Hi, Dan, what's going on? What's on your mind?
Hey, I'll get right to it. Great show. The people who are going to let us down are going to be the so-called religious people. The 74 refer to themselves as evangelical. More than half of
Oh, dear. I think we lost Dan. I think Dan is on the road traveling in the Carolina mountains, is what he told Dylan. So, Dan, if you get to a spot, give us a call back. I know that the signal can be a little spotty up in those parts. But Dan is correct about this, that yes, sir, it will be the religious people who let us down. I mean, they certainly did in the last two, in the last election, no doubt about it. And the last two, the presidential and the midterm elections. So if Christians will just rise up and go and vote on election day, then we're going to be okay, right? We're going to be fine. Oh, geez, Alou. All right, I've got to tell you about our friends over at Newsmax. So they're doing some great work, have a brand new poll out. They want to know how you feel about Tucker Carlson. Do you want Tucker back on TV? And if you do, you got to vote in the Newsmax poll. Do you want Tucker Carlson back on TV? Text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747. Well, I voted, and you can too. You got to let your voice be heard. Again, text the word SKIP to 39747 if you want Tucker Carlson back on the air. We'll be right back, folks.
What should we do with the broke propeller? What should we do with the broke propeller?
Don't look at me, I wasn't driving.
Thank you, you're not helping.
I don't even know why you bought this boat.
You told me that you loved this boat.
That was before you wrecked the boat.
Well, now you've made it awkward.
Accidents don't just happen in sea shanties, so Progressive Boat Insurance has you covered. Take as little as 4 minutes to see what you can save at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Covered subject to policy terms and not available for all boats or in all situations.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. You know, back in the day, the talk radio world, and especially on television, was sort of boring. I mean, it really was. It was ho-hum. It was sort of like NPR meets PBS, public welfare broadcasting versus national public welfare broadcasting. It was all very sad. And people would basically turn on these talk shows just to go to sleep, right? They would just drone on and on and on. This is NPR. Are you bothered by the fact that so many people are being turned into transgender monsters by their public schools? Nobody wanted to hear that nonsense. They wanted to hear people yelling and screaming and being real and throwing chairs and punches. And that's why Jerry Springer was so popular, right? And, of course, we lost Jerry. He passed away this week, 79 years old. Just an incredible, incredible broadcaster. And the guy was brilliant. You know, he was an elected leader, I believe mayor of Cincinnati, was on the city council. He won Emmy Awards as a journalist. And yet he was really kind of looked down upon by establishment Hollywood. His show actually did better than Oprah's. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I was scrolling through my feed yesterday, and I came across a stunning, stunning piece of news. Jeff Katz is the host of WRVA, the afternoon show there, our great affiliate in Richmond, Virginia. Jeff, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well. Thank you, Todd. I hope you are as well.
Well, it depends on what you're about to tell me here, Jeff. We've known each other for a very long time, and I had no idea that you were a guest on the Jerry Springer Show.
Yes, Todd, you were talking about a very, very different time, and the time would have been 1999. I was doing mornings at WRKO in Boston at the time during the day, but I was also working for the National Wrestling Alliance, doing pro wrestling television and traveling throughout New England and around the country. And we would all sort of gather after my morning radio show was over, and we'd be looking at this Jerry Springer show and say, hey, we know that guy. He wrestles in Minneapolis, and that guy's one of the guys from L.A., and blah, blah, blah. And we kind of figured out that there were some folks there at the Springer Show who would reach out to regional wrestling promoters and say, do you have anybody that might want to travel to Chicago to be part of our little cavalcade of whatever the heck it was? And long story short, Todd, in fact, I traveled to Chicago, and everybody always asks, well, Jeff, it's a background in pro wrestling. You got to tell me, was Jerry Springer fake? And what I will say, I have not consulted legal counsel, but what I will say is I believe the veracity of participants may have differed depending on the participants.
Well, you know, I mean, Springer called it the worst TV show of all time. I mean, that's how he introduced, you know, the program.
Yeah. And you put out, he was a brilliant guy, Todd. Now, he was a thoroughly flawed individual, starting with his politics. You know, he was a far left wing wackadoodle.
Oh, yeah.
But he was an entertaining guy. He was a guest on my radio show many times. And he was truly a polite, gentlemanly person. I think that little, if you remember, the little 2 minutes at the end where he would talk about how we're all going to come together and make the world a better place and blah, 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 blah. I think that was his way of making himself feel better about helping to, you know, host this bizarre circus of freaks from around America.
You see, Jeff, that was my favorite part. He would do that, and in the background, there'd be chairs overturned, people bleeding. It was great.
It was, and listen, if you took it for what it was pure entertainment. They were well-crafted characters, obviously. They resonated with some people, and as for Jerry Springer, he took his $60 million and laughed all the way to the bank.
Wow, he sure did, and just lived a great life, ended the show back in 2018. So did you get into a fight with anybody? Did you throw a chair?
No. And in fact, this part I think I can share. They told us when they brought us in, listen, guys, you're professional wrestlers, you're professional performers. You know how to get up close to people and yell and not hit anybody. So we knew where the line was. We hit our marks. We said what we were supposed to say. But no, there were no punches thrown at all. That was, if you remember, that was around the time that there was a lot of heat and attention being focused on the Springer Show about that violence. And so they made sure it was dialed back. And what the heck was the guy's name? Steve Wilco was there.
Oh, yes, you know,
making
Steve.
Sure with his team. Yes, Steve, nobody touches anybody.
It's true. That was great. Well, I had no idea. I thought, we got to get Katz on to talk about this. Crazy. Did you get a chance to meet or talk to Jerry at all, or how did that work?
Yeah. You know, again, he had been on my radio show many times leading up to that. And that day they had taped, gosh, Todd, it was probably, it was at least five shows. It probably was more, maybe 10 shows that day. So there were long days, and he didn't necessarily meet with everybody. But I made a point of chatting with one of the producers and said, hey, look, this is a guy who's been on my radio show many times. And we did have a chance to just hang out for a few moments and kibitz and chat. And as memory serves, I think we talked more about cigars than anything else, because he was a big-time cigar aficionado. And again, he was just a friendly and generous gentleman. He really, really was. And he did give me, I remember, a lovely parting gift that I got was one of the Jerry Springer Ringmaster action figures and a book that I still have signed. I'm going to have to dig that out of my my treasure trove of stuff, and I'll put some photos of that up on Facebook if I could find it.
Oh, yeah, we got to see that. We got to see that, Katz. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I could.
It was cool stuff.
I'm going to talk to my team. Maybe we can get a Todd Stearns action figure.
Nice.
I'm eating ribs and saying, geez, Alou.
Don't forget the lifelike Baptist martini on the side.
You gotta have one of those. Gotta have one of those.
That's right.
Jeff Katz, right. WRVA on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hey, Jeff, have you guys been talking about the Tucker Carlson thing over on your at your shop?
Absolutely. We have.
What are your listeners in Richmond saying about it?
Well, a lot of them have said various things that I won't repeat, directed at Fox News, but they were less than polite, and I think a lot of people are upset that somebody that they watched every evening, they trusted every evening, was shown the door. And so they're, in many cases, making that natural progression over to Newsmax. I think that's probably the number one destination for most of my listeners, as Tucker Carlson is no longer with Fox. And, you know, OAN and some of the other platforms as well, but people are not happy about it.
When I was talking about this a couple of days ago, and I have some background knowledge in how all those things transpire, because it happened to me.
Yeah. Yep.
I told folks, do not be surprised if this was one of those moments where you have to take out the big guys to send a message to everybody else, that if they can do it to Tucker or Dan Bongino, then, wow, they could probably do that to me. It was interesting. Breitbart had a little expose last night, and that was the philosophy they were taking. Their inside sources saying this was all about just whacking off the head, kind of like when you go into, you know, when you go to prison, the first thing you do is you go into the yard and you find the biggest, baddest person there, and you beat the living daylights out of them to prove
that's
that
right.
You are the biggest, baddest dog. And I think that's what the Murdochs did here.
I think that's probably pretty close to the mark. I think that the second generation there, the Murdoch sons, don't really have any grand affinity for conservatism. I think that was their dad's thing.
Yeah.
They've each got billions of dollars in the bank. They're part of that Manhattan social scene. And for them, my perception is that it probably caused more pains in the rear end to have that network the way it was than to simply send Tucker Carlson out of the room and then bring it down by a couple of degrees. So, and I don't know, I've read some buzz as well that maybe their thought is, well, we're just going to sell it off at some point. We'll just get rid of it and be done with it and focus more on entertainment things. But
yeah.
Your take there, Todd, that you go after the biggest one, I think is absolutely spot on.
Well, I don't think they were anticipating the massive hemorrhaging of viewers, and that is something that is fascinating. A lot has changed since O'Reilly left, and I think people are angry. They're still fuming over the botched call in 2020, and there could be a significant problem. This could be a big problem for Fox, so we'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely.
Right.
And you point out, Todd, very few people know that organization the way that you do, and so I will be waiting to hear from you what your further insight might be on it.
Someone asked me, Todd, they were still there at the network, and they said, Todd, they've offered me a contract. It's horrible. What do I do? I said, take it and sign it immediately. Because they'll have to pay you all 3 years of it. Just take it. Don't negotiate or they'll show you the door. For the love of God, man, don't negotiate. Hindsight, oh, you know, man. What it is. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, professional wrestler and Jerry Springer aficionado and talk radio host Jeffrey Cant. So, Jeff, you're going to be at Talkers this year.
I sure am. I'm looking forward to seeing you and the gang from the Todd Starnes Show this year as well as we got together last year. I'm excited about it. It's always a great
time. It's going to be fun. Yeah, we're sponsoring it this year, so we're kind of excited about that. So that'll be a blast.
Nice. Nice.
All right, we got to grab a meal together.
Yes, sir. Consider it done.
Let's do it. Jeff Cant, ladies and gentlemen, WRVA. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Todd. Bye-bye.
Oh, what a great talk radio host. My goodness. Just one of the finest human beings out there. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. When we come back, heading right to the phones. By the way, brand new Fox News poll out that says a majority of Americans, I even hesitate to share this poll with you, but a majority of Americans now overwhelmingly back a crackdown on guns. This is according to Fox News, 61%. Again, we'll get into more of this momentarily, but again, the Fox News poll, Americans overwhelmingly back gun laws. Mm. Let me tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile. They have been great sponsors of our program for a while now, and I love these guys. They're conservative, they're Christian, and they're out there fighting the good fight for us. And they've got some incredible deals, and they want to entice you to switch to their mobile wireless service, Patriot Mobile, mobilizing freedom. You can go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. And all the information is there. They will answer all of your questions, and they make it super simple to switch over to their wireless coverage. And they have some pretty awesome bonus discounts as well for veterans and first responders. If you're a business owner, a homeowner, doesn't matter. They've got a plan just for you. You can also give them a call at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use my promo code Todd. Take a moment of personal privilege. Just have to talk about an amazing new Irish pub that opened up in Memphis. And so if you're ever in Memphis, and yeah, you got to try the barbecue, but man can't live by barbecue alone. So you got to diversify. And Memphis is an incredible food town. I would say that Memphis is right up there with New York City when it comes to food. And this new place just opened is called Bog and Barley, and it's an unbelievable Irish pub. It's beautiful on the inside. My understanding is it cost between $3 and $4 million to build the pub, and it was all built in Ireland and shipped over. Some of the most incredible woodworking I've seen. But the food is just off the charts fantastic. And I would encourage you to go. If you're in Memphis, go by. And anyway, Kyle is leaving us for the summer and going off to Montana to get chased by, I don't know, bears, grizzlies, whatever, women.
Hopefully trout.
Okay, so you're going trout fishing.
I'll be doing a lot of that.
For the whole summer.
Well, yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll probably get a little bored when I stop catching things.
All right. So, the family is sad to see you go, but we're having the big celebration, a farewell bash over at Bog and Barley.
I can't wait.
It's going to be good. All right. Thanks, Kyle. So let's go to the phones here. Connor in Boston. Hey, Connor, what's up?
Well, I'll tell you, Todd, you know, you got me going on the food scene there in Memphis, because here in Boston, we have a lot of Irish pubs, but we also have a new barbecue joint that opened up, but it's vegan barbecue.
Wait, so I'm sorry, what? What?
It's a vegan barbecue restaurant. I couldn't even look at it when I drove by it.
It's like a fake rib? How do you do that?
You know, I don't know, but it's an authentic barbecue without the use of meat.
Vegan barbecue. No. Connor, have you been there?
I refuse to even walk in the door.
Oh, God bless you. You're a great American patriot. Adams will be proud.
But I will tell you, when it comes to when it comes to all these evangelicals out there who talk about President Trump, and they talk about how they can't vote for him because of his demeanor, because of the mean tweets, and even in general, the never-Trumpers out there, when we look at the state of our country right now, and if any of them are listening, because I've heard a few of them call in before, but if they're listening right now, the state of our country right now, is you're directly responsible for that. I would much rather have a president that has a few mean tweets and is a little bit more blue-collar, I would say, than like white-collar liberal or white-collar Republican, Tucker Carlson Republican, that can actually get the job done, than what we currently have in office right now, which is an incompetent president, and our country is paying for it.
Well said, Connor. Well said. And we're going to leave it there. I want to try to squeeze another call in, but God bless you, and it's good to hear from you. And thanks for standing up to that heathen vegan barbecue joint. What the heck? Let's go to Robert in North Carolina, wants to weigh in on Budweiser. Hey, Robert, you got about 60 seconds here.
Well, all I was wanting to say is that I think Budweiser did themselves in by putting anything like that on a can. You know, that ain't something I do drink beer, Todd. That ain't something I want to look at, if you understand. I'm out here mowing grass and doing things, and I'm a builder at hand, but I'm here today off work, and I'm trying to get my yard mowed, and that just, you know, I'm drinking Coors Light right now.
Well, whatever gets you through the mowing, Robert, but I hear you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I know Budweiser's, they fired the marketing team.
I think it's random. I mean,
but I'm with you.
All my buddies just went to drinking other beers. Yeah. Besides, you know, we all have we're just good old boys. We work hard all day. We love Donald Trump.
There you go.
Seen here in Mills River.
And you know what, Robert?
Seen Biden here.
Fox News just did the same thing Budweiser did. There you go. Robert, hey, you be safe out there. Take a break. Get under a good old shade tree and enjoy that beverage. Folks, hang tight. Hour 3 coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. I want to go back real quick to this story we shared in the last hour of the show. There is legislation being introduced by Republicans in North Carolina that would require university students to take classes on American government and our founding documents. In other words, it's important for American young people to understand the rights they have. They need to be reading the writings of our founding fathers. And I'm curious to know how you feel about that. Do you believe that is a good idea to actually codify that, to require universities to, in the state of North Carolina, and quite frankly, all over America, to teach classes on our government, our way of life? 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Great to have with us the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, Congressman Scott Perry. And Congressman, I have to imagine you would agree that it's good for kids to know about their heritage.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for the opportunity. And you probably know that back in the day, so to speak, everybody had what was called the McGuffey reader. And you learned about your country and why this was the and is the greatest country on the planet. And you had pride in your nation. Not to say that the nation was perfect or hadn't made mistakes. We all fall short of the grace of God. But this is the idea and the ideals of this country have shaped the world view of what freedom is and what it is to be a moral upstanding nation and the things that you follow. And of course, we just all assumed that everybody would always feel that way. Unfortunately, the subversive left and particularly the communists that have been operating in our country since the 30s have been on this steady path of changing that. And so Well, we just assume that everybody gets, most people, I think, a lot of people, maybe not most, but a lot of people don't even know what this country is about. They don't even know what a republic is. And if they did, I think they would be stomping mad about what's happening all around them, and the freedoms and the liberties, the choices that have been taken away from them by an oppressive, it is an oppressive federal government. And so if, you know, look, I don't like any kind of mandates from government and you know, that force us into things. But we're going to have to realize that we're in a war with the left. We are in a war with the left, which seeks to undermine the very foundations of this nation and change it into something unrecognizable to every single American. And if we're going to be in that war, we're going to have to fight without our hands tied behind our back. And so advocating for love of country and understanding of the foundation of this nation and what governance is supposed to be here and what it's not supposed to be, we can't assume that people know it. And it's going to have to be a fundamental requisite if we're going to maintain the republic that we hope to live in.
Like Reagan said, we don't pass our freedom down through the bloodstream. Every generation has to fight for it, and these kids need to understand what they're fighting for. And it's ironic because at the same time, many of these professors who are enraged over this, they're the same ones that are promoting the teaching of LGBT history and all this other kind of radical woke stuff in the classroom. So there you go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They demand it, and they demand it come from the Department of Education at the federal level, which has absolutely zero constitutional nexus. There's no reason whatsoever that the federal government should be imposing or even encouraging one curriculum or another. And unfortunately, the one that apparently they're interested in is this critical race theory or the 1619 project or something like that. We've got to join this effort to make sure people are informed about the reality of what our country is supposed to be.
Congressman, I want to move on to the debt ceiling, and I appreciate you weighing in on that. It's been a topic that's important to me, and I think to our listeners as well, so I appreciate that. But this debt ceiling, the bill passed yesterday by two votes. We understand four Republicans voted against it, and I'm curious to know your thoughts here. Obviously, this is going to put a target back on you guys, because Biden is not going to sign this. He's already said that's not going to happen. So my question is, what happens when that happens?
Well, look, he's going to continue to blame us. And what's frustrating to me as a person who is never until, well, even now, look, this is not a debt ceiling vote. This was a vote to get into the room and prove that we could pass something that we're willing to negotiate in good faith, something that's reasonable. The debt ceiling is yet to come. But he's going to continue to blame us. And what's frustrating is we've actually passed something. He said we couldn't, and that's why he didn't have to deal with us. What we have passed something. Where's the Senate? Why aren't they even working on it? Why is this now, you know, the responsibility of the House of Representatives? We have put an offer on the table. And I know that the president has put an offer on the table. His offer is, I won't negotiate. You're just going to increase the credit card limit. Well, okay, I might not like meeting in the middle, but his position is still, I will not negotiate. You're just going to do this. And somehow this, you know, leftist media just continues to side with him and tell the American people that he's on the side of being correct. How is it responsible while our dollar is flailing internationally and we've reached the debt limit mostly by actions of Democrats, Joe Biden, his party, and leftists in our party? Why is it our responsibility to not only pay the bills of this wrongful spending, this unaffordable and mostly unwanted spending, but also allow them to just keep on taking more of hard-earned tax dollars from American citizens? And so that's what's frustrating to me. I think that we're going to have to look, Todd, we're going to have to stay on offense. And I hope that there's a press conference next week in the Senate that says to Chuck Schumer, well, the House sent us a bill. Why don't you take it up and let's see if it can pass, right? Don't tell us it can't pass. You've told us that in the past, and things did move through the Senate. And then what's President Biden going to say? They're all covering for each other and their lack of willingness to actually address the problem. All they want to do is just keep on taking more money and spending more money. It is unacceptable.
So I want to, this is the quote from the speaker. We have lifted the debt ceiling. So nobody could worry about whether the debt ceiling is going to get lifted. We did it. The Democrats have not. The president wants to make sure the debt ceiling is going to be lifted. Sign this bill. So let's just assume for a moment, let's assume that, that Schumer is not going to bring this up. What happens then? Are they, is there going to be an effort among Democrats and Republicans to try to figure out a way to put forward a clean increase in the debt ceiling as the president has wanted?
Well, I certainly wouldn't support that, Todd. I would certainly not support that. And I would say this, look, I think if the Senate is unwilling and the president is unwilling to negotiate, is unwilling to put a proposal forward other than just raising the credit card limit, then there's going to be a stare down and somebody's going to have to blink. And at this point, we have a bill that we have passed. 217 of us have voted for it. We had one absence. So essentially we got the 218. There's no reason for us to blink. The question is who will the American people hold responsible if there is a default? And there's really not even going to be a default, Todd. You know this, right? The Social Security Trust Fund, it's a trust fund, so it's going to keep on paying Social Security. We have revenues coming in that will pay for the Treasury markets. We're not going to not pay our veterans. We're not going to not pay Medicare claims. So those things are all going to be paid. The question is who's going to be blamed? And it's hard to me, it's hard for people, you know, that are interested in facts and not just political rhetoric. It's going to be hard to blame Republicans in the House that passed something. Now, they're going to try to, but and so then it's going to be a question of who blinks. And we've told the speaker, this is our proposal. We all supported it. It's up to you now to just tell the president and to tell Chuck Schumer, that's the deal on the table. Unless you give us something else, we're not moving from that. That's our offer. That's it. And that's the end of it.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to leave it there. We're going to see what happens. It's now up to the Senate to figure out what they're going to do. And we're going to pay very close attention. Appreciate you coming on, as always.
All right. God bless you and your audience.
Thanks a lot. All right. Thanks. Scott Perry, everybody, the chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, represents that 12th, or that rather the 10th congressional district in Pennsylvania. So there you have it. I know what he said. That's why I wanted to read the quote from Kevin McCarthy, because this was about raising the debt ceiling. All right. The debt ceiling has been lifted and the Republicans did that. The question is, and by the way, they had four Republicans voted against this. Andy Biggs of Arizona, Ken Buck of Colorado, Matt Gaetz of Florida, and Tim Burchett of Tennessee, who is going to be with us a little bit later in the program. So the question now is, what's going to happen? Because, look, it doesn't matter that the Republicans pass this. They're still going to get the blame. But what they cannot do is go back and give Biden a clean increase in the debt ceiling. Can't do it. If they do, the Republicans will lose Congress in 2024. I guarantee it. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. Do you believe that teaching the Bill of Rights and the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence ought to be mandatory for college kids in America? 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. All right, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking to Lauren Trump. She's got some things to say about Fox News and also her father-in-law and the polls coming out. Pretty amazing stuff. Let's go to the phones, though. 844-747-8868. James in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, James. What's on your mind?
Listen, the Republican Party ain't really been about nothing for the longest. They've always gave in to the Democrats. How you give in to some quackery as a Democrat Party is what's going on now? It's insanity. But what was more insane, that the people act like they ain't mad. These people are taking your money. I don't give a damn if you are out there in the streets. You paying for potato chips, you paying taxes. This is the same thing been going on. I'm a history buff. I ain't the best. But it's always been about getting, when you go conquer somebody, you always say you got to pay taxes. They, in Robin Hood days, taxes. They still doing the same thing, but it ain't the kings and the queens and the potentates today. It's the very people that live there that's going along with it. If these people can't get your money, the Republican Party, what they're doing now, is only because of Donald Trump. Donald Trump said, y'all got to come off of this crap. I said, I didn't need Donald Trump to tell me that. Hell, these people been spending, Americans are being pimped. The Europeans been pimping these people in America for I don't know how many years. And they go along with it.
Yeah, James.
Watch the plan.
No, it's, look, you're absolutely right about that. And by the way, they're not the, they may be the pimps, but you know who's the biggest? It's Joe Biden. And I appreciate the call, James, on KWAM. Joe Biden, and you know who the prostitutes are? The White House press corps. It's the craziest thing I've seen. So the White House press corps, let me explain this. And James is absolutely right. I mean, look, nobody's looking out for the American people. That's why Donald Trump came in and won, because he delivered on his campaign promises. So Joe Biden doing a big press avail yesterday, and somebody captured on camera the cheat sheet. They were crib notes. It's the craziest, stupidest thing I've ever seen. But here's what gets me. We all know that Joe Biden is senile. His brain is turned to porridge, and it's really sad, but that's what happens when you get old. It's going to happen to all of us. It's just the way it is. So anyway, Biden's got these crib notes, and they are incredibly detailed. It's like, you stand here, you ask the reporter, you do. They have the reporter's photograph, the whole nine yards. Everything is written out for him, because Biden can't do anything. He can't think on his feet. Everything is scripted. So here's what gets me about this. It's not so much that Biden is scripted. We get that. He's, again, porridge for brains. I understand that. What got me was they had the questions written out. So anybody at the White House want to explain how it is that Biden's team knew what the questions were in advance? And that is the million-dollar question. That's the question we ought to be asking. Is why the Biden administration has access to the reporters' questions, because they don't want to be stumped. They want to control the narrative. That's what this is all about. So that tells me, and again, every single time Biden has taken a question from the White House press corps, it has been from a predetermined list of reporters selected by Biden's staff. And every single one of those predetermined reporters have to turn in their questions. So it seems to me that we don't have a White House press corps. We have a bunch of prostitutes with ink pens and laptops. And these people are whoring themselves for the Biden administration. I want to know what reporter worth his salt would actually turn over a question to the White House, hoping and praying they get called upon on national television. Who does that? Who in their right mind would do something like that? That's outrageous. You know, there was a time not too long ago, and I'm thinking about the Donald Trump administration, when he would take questions all the time, took more questions than any other president in modern political history. And he enjoyed it. He enjoyed the back and forth. But you wouldn't see the reporters turning in their pre-approved questions to Donald Trump. At least I certainly hope not. I've never heard of anything like that. But this is nuts. But this is not on the Biden administration. This is on these reporters. Have you people no shame? Do you not take pride in your craft anymore? I know some of you are only 20 years old, And you've been given a job as the full-time White House correspondent because you're going to work cheap. But don't be cheap. That's horrible. There's nothing worse than a cheap prostitute. And that's what these people are doing in the White House press corps. Shame on you. Have a little bit of respect. Put some clothes on, for God's sakes. I mean, really. But this is the world of journalism. People want to know why they don't trust reporters. It's because of nonsense like this. There's not even, at this point, there's not even a reason to hold a press briefing. Just go ahead and you got the questions. Just go ahead and write down the response and send it back. You could just email it to everybody. So we could just stay home and watch Jeopardy or Wheel of Fortune. Unbelievable. Oh, well, there goes my invitation to the White House Christmas party again. All right, 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stern's Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. Hey, let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our friend, a great American patriot, host of the Right View podcast, also a 2020 senior advisor for President Trump, Laura Trump. Hey, Laura, how's it going today?
It's going awesome. I'm looking forward every day to, January 20th, 2025, when we get a new president inaugurated, and I hope it's Donald Trump.
Yeah, it is. The polling data is just insane. Of course, we were talking about the Newsmax or the Newsmax story. They've got the Emerson College polling data out today with President Trump just crushing everybody. What do you think it is, Laura? Because this president is coming under attack, and let's get real, from a lot of rhinos, a lot of these establishment Republicans. And yet when you look at the polling data, it's not just one poll. It's every single poll. He's crushing it.
Well, I mean, you just said it. It's the establishment, and that goes for both sides of the aisle, whether you're talking about Democrats or Republicans. And I think the American people really had their eyes opened by Donald Trump on a whole host of fronts, obviously with our mainstream media, but also with the swamp and the fact that it is real and it does include a lot of establishment people. And I think the people of this country realized that in Donald Trump, they had a fighter who would never cower to the establishment, who would never bend based on what they thought was best. He would do what he knew was best for the American people. And honestly, that's why this country was so successful under his leadership for 4 years. That's why we didn't have any new wars started. That's why people were prospering like they hadn't in decades. That's why we had the lowest number of border crossings at our southern border. That's why it seems like on every possible issue, we were winning as a country. And I think people really get it now, Todd, and they see the way he's attacked, not only by, you know, the establishment, not only by the Democrats, but honestly, by our Department of Justice. They see the target that is on Donald Trump, and I think they realize he's being targeted because he exposed a lot of people. They're terrified to get him back in the White House on the side with the Democrats, the establishment, and let's face it, the entire swamp, because all bets are off. You thought round one for Donald Trump was great. Wait until round two. Wait until he fully cleans house and does some great things for America while he's in there.
And sadly, what he predicted was true about the deep state, and he predicted that they would be coming after all of us because ultimately that's what this was about. You know, he took a lot of arrows for Americans, and now the FBI unleashed, Internal Revenue Service unleashed. They're going after law-abiding American citizens, whether it's moms and dads at school boards or, you know, even pro-lifers, law-abiding gun owners.
Yeah, he always said, they're not coming after me, they're coming after you. I'm just in the way. And it's funny because on almost any front, whenever you go back to what Donald Trump said and people were like, that's crazy, that's hysterical for anyone to ever say something like that, conspiracy theory. They've all played themselves out and they've all actually come true, Todd. And I think that is why it is so frightening for people right now, because what we see happening in America is something that many of us even 2 years ago would have said, there's no way we'll ever see a day when these things happen. They're very Orwellian in nature. They're very communist and authoritarian in nature. And if we allow this to continue, this trend to continue in America, where it feels like all of the systems that are supposed to be in place to protect us and help us are actually weaponized against us, we lose our country. And once that happens, we don't get it back. Think about how hard our, you know, founders of our country had to fight for America. Now is our time. We have to stand up and we have to fight just that hard, because we only get one shot at this, and we, you know, we don't have any time to waste. And I think people have really woken up and they see the writing on the wall, and it is a very frightening time for Americans.
Laura, I'm curious to get your take on your father-in-law's comments about the debates. And I think there he has legitimate concerns, but we all know that they're gonna go after Trump. They always do. So it's not going to be fair. But you know what? He can take them all on. But the question is whether or not he will show up at the debates. What can you tell us? Any updates? Any clarification?
Well, just as an American citizen, I love a Donald Trump debate.
Man, I do
those
too.
Those are prime time. Yeah, those are prime time watching right there. I think we all remember the one-liners from especially 2016 and 2015. Those were a great time. You know, you look, Todd, at the polling. I think my father-in-law referenced this whenever he was asked about it. He is 50 points above the closest person who is a declared candidate for president on the Republican side, and that's Nikki Haley. Donald Trump is polling at 53%, Nikki Haley polling at 4%. I mean, that shows you that a vast majority of the Republican voters in this country would vote for Donald Trump if that, you know, the primary were held today. The other factor that I don't think people have ever had to address, and I don't think we've ever found ourselves in a place like this, is Donald Trump was president one time, right? And it wasn't that long ago. 2.5 years ago, Donald Trump was president. And so oftentimes, I think whenever we talk about debates, why do we have them? And we forget about this reason. It is to hear directly from the candidates and their positions on certain things. How would this individual be as president? Well, he's done that. So we know how Donald Trump is as president. We know the policies. We know the foreign policy, domestic policy. We know the things he did and achieved while he was president. And let's, you know, he's pretty open about his thoughts on just about everything there is. That said, I don't have a direct update from the campaign or from my father-in-law. I think we'll have to wait and see as those approach, you know, what the polling shows and, what the American people decide they ultimately want.
And again, just so, and I like using these as lessons in how the mainstream media operates, because that's all we've been hearing is Trump refuses to debate. No, that's not what he said. But what was reported on the Democrat side is actually a whole heck of a lot worse, in my opinion, and nobody's covering it. The Democrat Party is not going to be holding any debate. So even if Biden has challengers, no debates for the Democrats. So there you go. Laura, I want to get your take on what happened with Tucker Carlson. He's living the good life, looks like. Put out a video yesterday, riding around with his wife on a golf cart. But what's your take on what happened at Fox?
Yeah, he looked very happy. He looked like he was relieved that maybe he could finally enjoy life. I think he said, I'll finally be able to have a normal dinner with my wife for the first time in like 15 years. You know, I think Tucker Carlson, look, he's one of the leaders out there in truth, and we need that so desperately here in America. And I think so many people tuned in to watch him on Fox because he really did deliver the truth on a nightly basis. And he spoke up about things that perhaps were not popular to talk about in the moment, but really weigh heavily on us as a country if we do not talk about them. And, I don't think there's any doubt he will remain a strong voice and a top voice in the conservative movement. And, you know, in freedom and all freedom loving Americans, I think can really respect Tucker Carlson and what he was able to do. I think it's sad that he is no longer at Fox. I think that they've felt the results of Tucker leaving in a very negative way for their bottom line. Long term, perhaps they think it will be profitable for them or more profitable not to have him there. But I do think it's a big loss for them because so many people looked up to Tucker and really tuned in to hear what he had to say, because there was no doubt that he was going to deliver the truth to you, good, bad, indifferent, ugly. He was handing it to you directly. And I think we're all looking forward now to seeing what he will do, because I don't think we've heard the last from Tucker Carlson. he will be a success wherever he ends up.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And I, you know, just like Tucker, I was there 14 years. And at the end, it was really kind of a relief. You know, it was kind of odd. You never know how you're going to respond. But it was kind of like, oh, all right, time to go back home. And there you go. So he's going to do fine. He's going to wind up somewhere great. And we look forward to seeing what happens with Tucker. And you as well, Laura. It's always great having you on the program. I know your podcast is just crushing it right now. The Right View. What you got coming up on the podcast?
Well, we just had a great show where we talked about China. You know, this is something I don't think anyone was talking about pre-Donald Trump. He obviously was mocked and ridiculed for bringing China into, you know, the topic of conversation. You look at them now, Todd, we better keep our eye on China because they are salivating, waiting for their chance to overtake us as the superpower of the world. Our latest episode, we talk in depth about China and all the things that people probably are not aware that they're doing right here in our own backyard. We always have a fun time, though. We keep it light. We keep it fun as often as we can. So it's therightview.com, and we'd love to see you there.
All right. Laura Trump, ladies and gentlemen. Laura, always appreciate you coming on the show.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
All right. There you go, folks. Got to take a break. 844-747-8868. We're going to go to your calls coming up next. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And let's go to the phones. Tom in Georgia listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. It's good to talk to you. Appreciate you taking my call. I just want to weigh in on DeSantis and Trump. You know, this primary is kind of like the regular season in professional sports. You have a regular season.
Oh, I think we lost Tom. Give us a call back if we can reestablish that connection there. Sorry about that, Tom. Sometimes that happens. Hit one of those AT&T. You must have AT&T service. That happens all the time. And I want to play some audio. This is from Texas, the State House there, State Representative Matt Schaefer. And he's standing up for corporal punishment in schools. I want you to listen to this audio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members. Our children are made in God's image. They're given to parents to raise and to care for. And under current state law, a public school cannot use corporal punishment without the parents' consent. That's current law. So if a school paddles a student, they're doing so with the parents' consent. Now that God who made those children gave us some advice for our children. Proverbs 13:24 says, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. We would be wise members to follow the design that God has for disciplining children because we love them, because we want to see their future be bright. And that's for that reason I oppose this bill.
All right, so there's a bill on the floor that would ban corporal punishment in schools. And the question at hand is whether or not principals, assistant principals, or teachers should be allowed to lay a hand on a child. Now, when I was growing up, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this, but when I was growing up, corporal punishment was a thing. It was a thing in grade school, middle school, high school. I graduated in the 1980s. And so they were still whooping kids in the principal's office in the 1980s. This is public high school now. And, yeah, there were problems, but I will say this. We didn't have mass shootings back in the day. We didn't have people carrying on and fighting their teachers in the classroom, throwing desks. We didn't have any of that nonsense. And I went to a big high school, but nobody did that kind of stuff. And I think one of the reasons why is that we feared leadership. We feared the principal walking down the hallway or the assistant principal. And it's interesting because one of the state lawmakers there in Texas, a guy by the name of Steve Toth, he represents the Woodlands area. And he says kids do need to fear leadership. And I think there's something to that. Now, it's interesting because even a lot of conservatives say, no, we don't need corporal punishment in schools. Texas, by the way, one of 19 states, most of them in the South, that allow corporal punishment. Colorado and Idaho passed bills earlier this month to ban the practice. So the question is, should parents, or rather, should school teachers be allowed to use corporal punishment to keep law and order in the classroom? I mean, there was a time, I remember in grade school, where you were terrified of your teacher. I mean, you respected your teachers, but you wanted to do good. You wanted to make your teacher proud. And if you didn't, well, you know, you felt bad. But now these public schools are, man, they're like war zones. It's like, I've never seen anything like it. But you ought to see all the videos on all the different platforms, kids acting the fool and beating each other up, teachers standing by, and they don't know what to do because if the teacher jumps in and pulls two kids apart, will the parent sue the teacher? And then you've got situations where the kids are actually beating up the teachers. And it seems to me at that point, teacher, you have an obligation to beat the holy living crap back out of that kid. I'm just saying, I mean, if a kid lays hands on you and is trying to kill you, I think that you as a teacher have a right to defend yourself. And also, teach the rest of the children in the class, you mess with me, you're going to be picking your teeth up off the floor. I'm just saying. But corporal punishment, do you think that's the way to get law and order back into public schools? 844-747-8868. All right, we got Tom back with us, wanting to weigh in on Trump and DeSantis. All right, Tom, what you got for us?
I'm sorry about that. Appreciate you taking my call. I hope you can hear me. But I think people are misreading the Trump and DeSantis. This is kind of like Major League Baseball or football. The primary is the regular season. And you don't have anybody on your team in the regular season. Everybody's out for themselves. And so he's fighting for the playoff spot to get in the playoffs. And he's going to be attacking everybody, and I think he has a right to. And, you know, when the Republicans have, I mean, DeSantis is running. Fox News is supporting him. He's met with the Bushes. Karl Rove's backing him. And, you know, the establishment wants him to run, and he's going to run. But I think Trump has the right to attack him, and I think he should. And let's see if Trump wins, let's see who comes on his side. They didn't come on his side the last time.
Well, we'll see how all this plays out, Tom. And it may be some sort of orchestrated ballet, political ballet. I don't know. It seems to me that we need to make sure that DeSantis is ready for the future, because I do think he's going to be a presidential contender. And we'll just have to wait and see what that looks like. So, Tom, appreciate that call. Glad you were able to get back to us. Again, our telephone number, 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. Now, I will say this. We've got some great stuff happening over on our website and especially over at the store. Check it out. There's some good stuff there. You want to get some coffee mugs, T-shirts, and, of course, all of my books are available over at toddstearns.com, as well as some great stories. Caleb Park and our team writing some stories that you will not find on other news platforms. And just a reminder, we mentioned this in the first hour of the program. If you're tired of the ads, we've got an ad-free version, so you'll be able to get all of my columns, all of my commentaries, and you'll be able to get that for $5 a month. You just have to go to Substack, toddstearns.substack.com, and check that out. All right, got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. Another full hour of conservative conversation coming your way. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
Netflix, Amazon Prime, HBO, Showtime. Do you feel like your streaming subscriptions are out of control? Why not start the new year off right and cancel the ones you're not using? Enter the Rocket Money app. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up. From there, decide whether to keep it or cancel it with just a tap. To find out more about Rocket Money, go to rocketmoney.com/offer. Or download the Rocket Money app from the Apple App or Google Play stores. Rocket Money, the finance app that works for you.